You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner alongside Dave Tindall to get stuck into the European Open, which is the sole event this week on the, the Porsche European Open. The only event this week, the event on the European Tour. Good morning to you, Mr. Tindall.
Hi Dave. I don't know why, but I really enjoyed the intro music then.
Yeah.
Made me feel relaxed. Was, maybe because I've just had a frantic rush from the station.
I turned it down, I think. It's usually a little bit loud and a little bit jarring at the beginning of the programme, right. But I turned it down to a level just to soften things up here in the studio.
Yeah, well, appropriate because, I, as I say, I just dashed from the station due to the late train.
Is this an event that you like, the Porsche European Open? It's kind of been nomadic, hasn't it? I mean, it used to be a huge event when it was played in the UK. I can't remember those days because it was... It was late 70s, early 80s, I want to say.
Right. Well, yeah, it's... I suppose maybe it struggles for its identity. If you're just coming in fresh now, you're thinking, what's the history behind it?
Yeah.
And if you haven't got the sense of what it was, it's just like another tournament in Germany, possibly.
It's kind of the polar opposite to last week as well. Last week we had the Omega European Masters, and that's up in the mountains and a wonderful setting. And it always seems to provide... loads of entertainment and excitement down the closing stretch. I'm not sure whether that's to do with the golf course or the... I think it is mostly down to the golf course because you can really make birdies in bunches, it feels like, on that track.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the winner, Sebastian Söderberg, had five in a row, didn't he, on the back nine? People who were seemingly out of it just came into it. Like, Rory was nowhere, really. He needed a big surge and found one. And then, but you've still got to, you know, see it through. And Söderberg... I don't know if you watched it, Mr. Sort of three-putted from nowhere on 17.
Yeah, yeah.
You thought, oh, that's him gone. And then suddenly they all landed at this, like a magnet, wasn't it, minus 14? They all landed on it. And then I thought Söderberg might be the one not to, you know, the least likely.
He showed great mental fortitude. Yeah. And that's clearly an 18th hole that he likes because he had an opportunity in regulation to win, didn't he, after three putts on 17.
And it's probably a hole that Rory doesn't like because his drive on the in regulation play was blocked horribly right, wasn't it? And you thought he just doesn't. You could tell when he was stood over, he didn't fancy it.
He had to get up. It made a great up and down in regulation, and then in the playoff, drove the ball left. You'd think though it would be a hole that would suit his shot shape because he likes drawing the ball from right to left, and you've got to draw it into that.
Maybe it's just the distance where you need to do the drawing. It just doesn't quite fit him, does it? He looked awkward over it. So yeah, well, I must admit. It was a strange playoff because there's Rory, world number two, and the rest of them were just world number whatever, weren't they? And all 200 to 1 plus.
You had a good run from Adrian Aus on the Sunday. He got you a split of a place, half a place.
Yeah, which is...
Tied 60 finish with one other.
Yeah, which is okay as he was 100 to 1, so that was decent enough really on him. I had three outsiders and I think a couple. Ashan Wu was terrible. I can't even remember who the other one was, but old our friend Adri did well, didn't he? And he's a good player, and I think we finally cottoned on this week with his price. He's what, 33s or something?
Yeah.
So he's just a very, very good player. You said to me off air that maybe that 100 to 1 was maybe because the course didn't suit, but. As I said, it's kind of, if you're a good player, you can play on any course.
Yeah, and
you
talked about him performing well in altitude, events at altitude throughout the season as well. And that led into that selection.
Yeah, but it's just he's a good player, isn't he? I think we're going to hear a lot more of him.
It's kind of chalk and cheese, isn't it? Because we go from the Swiss mountains to the flatlands in Germany on a typical parkland course that's a bit of a monster, a Green Eagle. A golf course hosting for the third time this week. Richard McAvoy and Jordan Smith have won the previous two editions on this track the last couple of years. That provides us with slightly mixed messages. Jordan Smith drove the ball long and straight en route to his win in 2017. McAvoy last year relied on his accuracy. Conditions, I think this year are more likely to be comparable to 2 years back, where Smith won, given the area of Hamburg has been hit by lots of wet weather in the last couple of months, whereas last year they'd endured a heat wave, which meant it played fast and firm.
Yeah.
The course is long. It's a par 72 measuring just under 7,600 yards, and there are some meaty par fives down the closing stretch.
Loads of them.
Loads of them. There's five par fives in the last 10 holes, which
bizarre,
is bizarre, yeah. Isn't it?
What were they thinking there? Did someone...
I've got no idea. They probably weren't thinking.
Was he drawing up his plans and someone had said, look, you've got to make this really long and he'd got so many holes. And, oh, hang on, we're in trouble here. Let's whack in a load of par fives.
Yeah, it does mean it's a bizarre end. I suppose there can be big swings because you can make eagles, you can make plenty of birdies on the closing stretch as well.
But so are they too long, though, the par fives? Like
a couple of them over 600 yards, aren't they? But the last does provide opportunities for eagles. And there's a strong American challenge here this week as well. Xander Schauffele heads the betting at 6-1. Paul Casey 7-1. Patrick Reed 8-1. Matt Kuchar 14-1. Thomas Peters 14-1. And Matthias Schwab is 22s. Rory Sabatini and Bernd Wiesberger and Lucas Biergaard all 25-1 and 33-1 and bigger the rest. How do you read, or what do you read into the last 2 years at the track and how that leads into your selections this week?
Yeah, well, the McIlroy one, immediately you look at it and think this is a long course. You need to hit it long and straight and, you know, big drivers are going to be suited. And then you think, well, hang on, what's McIlroy telling us? But he really shouldn't have won, should he?
No. Bryson DeChambeau should have won last year. And he was in the middle of that, or he was about to go on that run, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it, I think? I know he was.
Well, wasn't he already on a good run?
Yeah, I think he was in the middle of his good run. Yeah. It seemed inconceivable that he
could possibly throw it away.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, and he did.
Yeah, so had that played out and DeChambeau had won, you would have thought, well, yeah, this is a long hitter's course. But I think the key is the weather, from what you've said. If it had been another, because Germany has, was it Munich had a bit of a heat wave, didn't they? I noticed in the Bayern Munich game they had to have drinks breaks.
Okay.
During it. Yeah. Apparently that helped Bayern, who were struggling at the time, because the manager got some words of wisdom across. Mm. But so there has been some heat, but your weather forecast news there suggests Hamburg has taken a bit of a hit.
Yeah, from what I've read, it's going to be quite soft this year and more reminiscent of the year Smith won than last year's McIlroy.
Yeah,
win.
I mean, I would have been lean, if it had been neutral weather, I still would have been leaning towards the first year where Jordan Smith won.
Yeah.
So that's definitely my thinking. I wouldn't want to be, I mean, looking at it now, McIlroy is one of the very shorter hitters, isn't he, on tour. He's about 175th and he goes up to 183. So I'd be looking at I'm looking at players who do give it a bit of a whack off the tee, I have to say.
Yeah, just looking at Bryson DeChambeau, he'd won at Memorial.
Yes.
Then had a few kind of off weeks, then bounced back at the Porsche European Open, then went on that run when winning the Northern Trust.
So he was sort of close, but not quite.
Yeah, it was kind of the eye of the storm when he appeared here last year, DeChambeau. And we've got Xander Schauffele at the top of the market this year, coming off that second place finish at Eastlake in the Tour Championship. And we know that he is a player that has won away from America before. And we opened up 10-1, Xander Schauffele.
Did we?
Yeah, which was quickly snaffled, as you can imagine, because he is the... From those at the top of the betting, he's the one that I'd most like on side this for this event.
Yeah.
I mean, someone had fallen asleep at the wheel, I think.
Yes. He's been runner-up in the Open as well. Does travel well, doesn't he?
So, yeah. He won in China.
Yeah. And he's got a lot of German connections, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Or football stuff. I'm going onto Twitter here, onto Wiki to read some of it, but he's got... great grandfathers who played for the Austrian national football team, all sorts of stuff. He's got his dad was in track and field.
Yeah, is it his father that is Austrian? I think his father's Austrian.
Right, yeah, but there's definite a German connection and an Austrian connection there.
Yeah.
So I think he will have more support than he would have done. Possibly there'll be an edge of the. if the local media sort of run with it, he's kind of a, you know, a bit of a hometown boy in, on some level. Of all the Americans, he's the one I think that'll get the extra cheers from the home team.
Yeah.
The home team, the home crowd. Turn this into a game of footy.
How many selections have you got this week?
Just two for me.
Okay, I've got three this
week.
All right,
you'll be leading off
then.
So
I'll have to lead off. That's a rarity, isn't it?
Did you think, I thought I did, just quickly, I did think the front end of the market was too short for me.
Yeah, I would have fancied Schoffele at a bigger price, but yeah. Even though I think Paul Casey, he had a chance to win last year, didn't he, as yeah. well? I think he'll go well.
And Patrick Reed.
Yeah, Patrick Reed.
But at 6, 7 and 8.
They take quite a chunk out of the market, yeah. don't they? I think they're opposable from an each-way perspective anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I think it helps us get some decent odds elsewhere. That's yeah. a bit in my line of thinking. But you go first, Dave.
I'm going with Sam Horsfield.
Oh, he's one of mine.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, there you go, 50 to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, shall I put the case
yeah,
together?
Yeah, you go for it, yeah.
He's obviously put together a really solid run of form with a tie for third in the Czech Masters, followed by a 10th place finish in the Scandinavian Invitation, then a 43rd place finish last week in the Mountains. This event will suit someone like Horsfield and his skill set much better than last week in Switzerland did, and I think it's only a matter of time before he puts it all together and lands an event on tour. He's a strong driver, should relish conditions, and he's had a look at the course too, having finished 48th on debut last year, and that performance was a bit misleading, given he was 6 under through 54 holes.
Tied 11th
yeah. after,
with a round to
and
go.
And McAvoy won on 11 under, so he wasn't, I mean, he was one good round off winning
yeah.
rather than finishing with the also-rans. And he had a card-wrecking 9 on the penultimate hole of the tournament, that par 3, which did all the damage. And that kind of hides his course form
absolutely,
this week.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he's 50 to 1 on a course that really does play to his strengths.
Yeah, I kind of arrived at him via another route.
Okay.
In the fact that the two winners here, I mean, his mind's a slightly sort of not exactly hard science, but the two winners here so far, Jordan Smith and McAvoy, were both first time winners and both English. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just had a look down the kind of betting, right? Who's an Englishman who's looking for a first win? And I stumbled on him.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of my entry in. And then I started looking and thought, actually, if that isn't science, you can build science into it with all you've said.
Absolutely.
I think he's ripe. And I particularly did like the fact that he'd hidden away. That 48th was, there's more to it than met the eye. So I thought 50 to 1 on him. I think he's close, isn't he, to throwing in something big.
I think so. Shall I go into my second selection?
Just saying, at the Scandinavian Invitation, he finished with a 62, so he can shoot the lights out as well.
And I think you will... There are mistakes to be made around this golf course. It's not a complete knockover, is it, for these players?
No.
I mean, it can, if your ball striking's off slightly because yeah. it's so long and you get into a bit of trouble, you can make some big numbers around here as well.
But he was, when he was third at the Czech Masters, he was second on the all-around first in putting average. So there's lots of good things in his game at the minute. He's made all his cuts in Germany. He was tied 21st at the BMW International Open earlier this year. So I think lots of roads lead to Sam Horsfield.
Sam Horsfield, the number one selection for both myself and Dave, then at 50 to 1. I'm going for another guy at 50 to 1 as my second selection, Lucas Herbert.
Ah,
at
right.
50 to 1 is the other pick.
Did you see that interview with him?
I didn't know.
Right, where he kind of said he'd fallen out of love with it. With the game.
Right.
Until
last week.
It's kind of got him going again.
Oh, good. Well, it's weird because you look at last week and finishing tied 8th in Switzerland. If you believe in biometrics, this is where it all came good for him last season, this time of year for Lucas Herbert. He had that string of top 10 finishes in Portugal at the Alfred Dunhill Links and at the British Masters. And I'm hopeful that given last week's tie for 8th, he's just about to click into gear again.
Yeah.
And that hopefully will act as a catalyst for success on the European Tour in the last couple of months of the season. He's another bomber who's well suited to the track. He had 2 good rounds and 2 bad rounds last year, eventually finishing 29th, which I thought was a decent effort. And I just think he'll go well at this course. So 50 to 1, having bounced back to form last week, thought was reasonable on Lucas Herbert. So 50s. He's the second selection for me.
Yeah, because he was kind of being put forward as the next big thing and, you know, a real potential star. And then I think it was when the tour went down under to Australia, you're thinking, well, this is a great chance for him, and he flopped a bit, and then he's not You're thinking, what's really gone on with him?
I said, maybe he's still learning. Yeah. I know he's not.
I was surprised to hear that he'd kind of become a bit sort of
disillusioned.
It's like, yeah. I know it's.
I didn't hear that interview. I must.
Yeah, I know he's not got you know out of it what he was hoping to get.
Yeah.
But just the wording was a bit odd. It just seemed like, come on, mate.
I think all the talent's there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he has got the attributes.
It's probably like maybe a bit of Thomas Peters in the fact that he knows he's good.
Yeah.
So why is he plodding along getting these average results? So just needs something to turn and he could really go on a tear.
I think if a player is on that sort of run, maybe mental fatigue sets in a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And it sort of it damages confidence and then that eventually manifests in the swing.
Yeah.
And the struggles begin.
Just on a downward cycle, yeah. Aren't you, one way and another.
So hopefully he's got that under control and he's back on track this week and he can go well at 50s.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going further down the betting to 80-1.
Okay.
And another Englishman, although that's rather coincidence, Paul Waring.
Right, okay.
I just thought it was a big price on him. He's having his best year on tour quite easily. He's in the top 40 on the race to Dubai. He's had 5 top sevens in 14 starts. Mm. So he's certainly pushing for that each way money, almost, 50% kind of thing. And another good performance in the Scandinavian Invitation, which he was defending last time. He shot 66, 65 on the weekend. That was a tied 20th. That followed on from a tied 30th in the Czech Masters. And they were kind of his comeback events after the Open Championship. So I think a few of them had that bit of a gap, wasn't there? And I think a few of them just needs to get the juices flowing again. So he's had 30th, then 20th. You can see his kind of round scores getting better. Really good stats as well in the Scandinavian Invitation, 6 on the all-around. Does hit it big. He's in the top 30 for driving distance.
Yeah.
So I've just seen a couple of interviews with him where he's basically said, I'm just doing everything well. He just sounds like a player who's just having a really great year. Got his win last year and has now turned this year into a real kind of enjoyable one.
Nice.
And it's his first look at Green Eagle, but he's high up in the par 5 stats as an extra one. There's just lots of good things.
That doesn't concern me at all, making his debut. I just think it's one of those tracks where it's just go and hit the ball, basically.
Exactly. So I don't know. He could have played this last year and finished 10th and it'd be 66s, but I'm happy enough with the 80s. And I just think it's a big price on a player. Maybe had been put into the bracket of journeyman, but I think this year he's playing better than that.
Yeah. Maybe I'm being slightly harsh with Green Eagle, but I remember watching it on TV last year.
Well, that's something
year.
That you remembered watching.
Yeah, I do, because I remember DeChambeau's capitulation. Then he was a little bit surly, wasn't he, on the 72nd hole when congratulating McAvoy.
Yeah, just a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't fantastic from him. I think we talked about it on last year's podcast as well.
Yeah.
But I remember watching, and maybe it's one of those courses that doesn't transmit onto television well, because there are venues like that, but I just thought every hole was so nondescript.
Yes.
And it all just looks, there's just nothing there.
Why is it even called Green Eagle Golf Courses?
I've got no idea.
It gives you that sense that there's about 20 of them all the same.
They've just manufactured it. They've just carved like...
churn them out of some sort of template.
36 holes into one piece of land.
Yeah. Not a classic, but...
I think it's the sort of week where I wouldn't lean that heavily on course form at all.
Yeah, it's just someone who's playing well goes there. I mean, that's what we've gone for so far. People are playing well.
I'm going to finish off with a 100-1 shot.
Right.
Just half a point each way, and it's a bit of a flyer, really. Dean Burmester.
I was going to guess that, yes.
Yeah, he's just the sort of...
Big hitter on
big,
a sort of flat
big
course.
Big hitting flat course that I thought could go well. And he played well... Really well, actually, in the Scandinavian Invitation a fortnight ago. He finished tied for third. What I liked about that, he led the field in driving distance, second in greens in regulation. That's certainly the recipe for success around Green Eagle. And I think if he can reproduce that striking from a fortnight ago, he could surprise a few this week. And I wouldn't read too much into the miscut last week on a course that won't have suited him.
Yes.
So... I've messed 100-1.
Yeah, I've got him down as playing twice in Germany, and I'm one of those on the challenge tour. He was runner up.
Oh, that's a little bit of
positive news.
Yeah,
yes.
A bit of bonus information there.
Yeah. So yeah, all good prices, I think, on those.
Yeah.
On those players.
I think we'll get a good one this week.
I don't feel like we've had to sort of compromise on anybody.
No.
So that it's basically, I think it's the front end. If you were back in the front end, you have to go, I want to, but...
You've got to swallow a price, haven't you, there? Like Thomas Peters, I think, should go well this week.
Yeah,
but
I was close to
14
him.
To 1 is just a bit skinny, isn't it?
He's been nailed a bit, hasn't he, after recent good efforts.
Alex Levy?
Yeah, I think he'll be popular this week. Classic sort of fire at the flags, long, wet course.
Yeah.
He should love it. And he's got the course form to sort of prove it.
He has. He's finished 2nd and 13th on his two starts. And he should have won the year Smith won. He missed that tiddler, didn't he?
Right. I wonder if Jordan Smith himself at 50s.
Yeah, I was close with him. He's missed 4 consecutive cuts now.
Yeah,
since going on that amazing streak in the middle of the summer.
But not sort of terrible.
Nah, last week he got behind early and then played okay on Friday and just missed out. And he's just such a good player, Jordan Smith, that it won't take long for him to come out of this funk.
Yeah.
But it's whether or not you want to risk it on the back of 4 missed cuts at 50s, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, back to sort of German form, he missed the cut in the maiden Denmark and then he went to the BMW International Open in Germany. This was at the end of June and was 3rd. And then he's had a load of missed cuts since. But 2 of those missed cuts with second round 68s, I don't think he's far off. The only thing, he's got absolutely terrible scrambling figures of late.
Mm.
But I don't know whether that will count for much on this course.
I don't think so, but yeah, that's
just an area.
Maybe he's just struggling at the moment.
Yeah,
yeah. But I thought 50s was fair on him.
Yeah,
I liked Renato Paratore as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Italian, he finished 2nd last year, 20th and 12th on his last couple of starts, and of course the man you went with last week, Adrian Aus, who's been collared in the betting now at 33-1. But it's surely only a matter of time, isn't it?
For him, yeah. I think that's what... If he'd been 50s this week, I think I would have gone in again.
Yeah.
Kept some chips on the table. But 33s, it's like, wow, that is a cut, isn't it? I wonder how some of the others in the playoff last week might go, because, like, Samuj is a hundreds as well. Gagli is a hundreds. So if they've can keep it hot.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wondering whether the course last week suited them better maybe this time than this one did. There's quite a few down the list. I mean,
Sean Crocker,
yeah, I think he'll get some attention at 80s.
Yeah.
Alvaro Quiroz even can suddenly pop up, can't he, and on a big long course. Played well in the desert, 150s. So plenty around there, but it's just whether those front three, if they all play to their kind of potential, then we're kind of having a few each way places clogged up by them. But I don't think it'll be that straightforward.
No, I don't either. I think Schauffele is the one. If I had to have someone to finish in the top 10 for my life, I think I'd be picking Xander Schauffele out of those three personally. I just think this venue will just be tailor made for him.
Yeah,
because he does excel on those long golf courses.
Yeah, he's
such
a bit of space.
Such a strong, and when he's at his peak, he's such a strong driver of the ball.
Yeah.
I thought Schauffele was the one out of those three.
Unless he's doing so much sort of promo work.
Yeah, maybe there's that. Maybe there's that.
Going and back to visit all his ancestors.
He'll have, of course, put a lot into Eastlake as well. And
yeah.
Maybe this is just it's just a run out.
Yeah, you could argue any of those, couldn't you, at the top end? If they're just sort of coming down a little bit and finish counting their money, then they might be. Lucas Bjerregaard, I thought, would be good for this course as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But just 25s was a bit...
On the short side.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap up then. Dave Tindall, your selections this week?
So I'll go a point each way on a man that we've both chosen this week, Dave. That's Sam Horsfield, point each way at 50s.
Yeah.
And I'll go a point each way on Paul Waring at 80s.
Yeah, I'm going to point each way. I'll join you, Sam Horsfield at 50-1. Point each way, Lucas Herbert at 50-1 as well. And just have half a point each way on Dean Burmester at 100-1.
You wanted to mention some other action in America, didn't you? You were talking.
Yeah,
about.
I just thought it was a fitting. I mean, we had the riches of the FedEx Cup, but the real drama, occurs in the Korn Ferry Tour Finals, and a lot of people have seen the clip of Doug Gim hurling from around about 10 to 12 feet to get his card, and Justin Harding just missed out. I think he needed Lanto Griffin to hole from 6 feet on the last, and then he'd snuck into that tie for 25th, which would have got him his playing privileges for the season on the PGA Tour.
And Tom Lewis is the one that people have been kind of kicking themselves about because he was a big price.
Yeah, he was around about 50 to 1. And
the second highest ranked player in the field. It was just kind of that thing where, is he a bit of a fish out of water because we don't see him much in America?
I backed him, tipped him in the Czech Open 3 weeks ago, and he withdrew. And it's just like three weeks later, he's winning in America to secure his PGA Tour card.
Yeah.
And now he's got decisions to make because this is the time of season where obviously is he two-time defending champion in Portugal? Mm-hmm. He's won that event
twice. He's won
twice.
It twice, yeah.
I don't know if it's in back-to-back seasons.
No, one was quite a while ago.
So he's won it twice. Yeah, one was when he just first burst onto tour, wasn't it? So he's won that twice. Does he come over here or does he play the full series events in the autumn in America, which start next week with the Greenbrier? So he's got a few decisions to make now. Good decisions
nice
to
decisions,
make.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think... You see the obscene money the players are playing for in the FedEx Cup FedEx Cup finals, and then the Korn Ferry Tour Championship is on the complete other end of the spectrum, but it's so much more important, and that's what the game should be built around and focused on.
Yeah.
And Sky covered it last night, and I thought it was I didn't get to see that much of it, but I've seen a lot of the clips on Twitter, and it's just what the game should be about, really.
That's it, the pure sort of drama.
Yeah, the pure drama of a player realising his dream rather than just stacking bills on top of dollar bills on top of dollar bills.
Yeah, that's a good one. Interesting when you see a player like Tom Lewis, because it's sometimes hard to get a handle on how good he is.
Yeah.
Because he sort of started fast and then dipped. And then
I still don't think we know, do we, yet?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, kind of thing.
It's weird, isn't it? Because players progress at such different rates and their journeys are also different. That some will peak at 24, 25, and then others, it will take into their mid to late 20s for them to really realise their potential.
I mean, he's 28.
28, so, is it?
In theory, lots and lots of good years ahead of him.
Yeah. Thank you for your company, Dave.
Yeah, cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened to the podcast. It's been our pleasure. You can follow us both on Twitter as well, at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner, and check out all the betting on the William Hill website at williamhill.com and, of course, on the app. And myself and Dave will be back full schedule next week. We've got the KLM Open on the European Tour, and it's the start of the new PGA Tour season with the fall series events and the Greenbrier first up.
That's right,
should be good. So join myself and Dave again next week, and we'll speak in the not too distant future. And if you're having a bet on the golf with William Hill this week, the very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.